All right, well, I guess we'll call the meeting to order, April 25th, 2016, at 9:03 a.m. But before making any proceeding with any business, Mr. Milichuk has a statement to make.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the Office of the Secretary of State, as required by Chapter 551 of the Government Code, referred to as Open Meetings Act. I would like for this fact to be noted in the official record of this meeting. And just a couple other little housekeeping items I'll remind everybody of. First of all, silence or put on vibrate your cell phones. We don't want those interruptions. And then anyone who wishes to speak, I'm going to ask that you fill out a speaker registration form on the table immediately outside of this room. Chairman will call you up to the podium and ask that you state your name and who you represent, if other than yourself, and then you'll have 3 minutes to speak. We're not using a time clock or stoplights here this morning, but just be mindful of your time, if you would, please. If you have any handouts, please provide them to Dee over here on my right, and she'll distribute them to the council members. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Back to you.
All right. With that, we'll proceed. Action item number one is approval of the minutes from the previous council meeting held March 2nd, 2016, which had been distributed. Do I have a motion for approval?
Second.
By Kohler and Kelsey. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Item two is update on status of projects approved for funding by the council at the March 2nd, 2016 meeting. Justin?
Yes, sir. Morning, Mr. Chairman, council members. For the record, my name is Justin Drobobliss. I'm the Private Lands and Public Hunting Program Director here at Parks and Wildlife and a member of the Staff Review Committee for Farm and Ranch Land Conservation Program. The purpose of the presentation this morning is just to provide a brief recap over the decisions that were made at the March 2nd meeting and give you an update on each one of the projects. March 2nd, decisions were made and five projects were approved for funding. These projects ranged in size from 144 acres to 9,992 acres, with funding awards ranging from nearly $76,000 to $500,000. Since the last meeting, applicants have been notified of the decisions. Staff has begun working with our internal legal and contracting departments to go ahead and start the contracting process. And our staff members have actually been on site on every one of these approved projects to make sure that they were consistent with the spirit of the program. And so I'm going to briefly go through each one of the projects, provide a little bit of information about the site visits, and if you have any specific questions, please let us know. First project is the West Bay Corridor, and also known as the Hitchcock Prairie. 3,100-acre cattle ranch, and the award was $500,000. A few notes from the actual site visit is that it was an impressive piece of intact land, especially based on its location there on the coast. It transitions from upland prairies with freshwater depressions all the way down to coastal marsh. It's got an extremely high plant diversity on the property. And there have been over 410 documented species to date on the property, with 8 of those being species of greatest conservation need, 6 of those 8 occurring only in Texas. So a very special piece of property has high watershed value and flood abatement value as well. Second property is the Puryear Ranch. Puryear is a 425-acre mixed-use cattle and wildlife property. And the council award was $131,850. A few of the notes from this site visit was that it was a well-managed riparian areas along Rocky Creek and along several smaller tributaries, helping preserve water quality in the Barton Creek watershed. Has healthy creeks with seemingly intact fish communities, and a great diversity of trees and grasses with limited ash juniper compared to surrounding lands. Third property is Albritton. This is a 650-acre mixed-use property, 650 acres of the 1,800-acre ranch. Council award was $325,000. A few of the notes from this site visit were that just a great diversity of trees and grasses. Every one of these box canyons had water in it, and the property has a strong population of golden cheek warblers. So from an endangered species management standpoint, this is a very important property to be involved with. Next is the Patilla Ranch, 9,992-acre cattle ranch, Culberson County. The council award was $375,000. This easement will help protect important springs and other aquatic features on this property, which support wildlife in this desert ecosystem. The property serves as an important buffer to Guadalupe Mountains National Park and McKittrick Canyon. McKittrick Creek is a focal area for Parks and Wildlife's native fish conservation efforts, and these are efforts to restore native fishes that once occurred in streams throughout the Davis and Guadalupe Mountains. Last but not least is Lazy Bend Ranch. It's a 144-acre property that previously had cattle on it. Within the last few years, has switched over to wildlife and does not have a cattle component at the moment. It's in Hays County, and diverse native habitat, numerous healthy water resources on the place. There's been a significant amount of brush management on the property with a lot of ash juniper removed over the years. Passionate landowners that were a part of the site visit, excited about managing for native species. And this is also, this is a donated easement, so it's definitely proof that there are folks that, that are interested in donating these resources. that kind of rounds out the update on these particular projects. And in conclusion, I would just say that there were no red flags that were identified on any of these site visits. And staff believes at this point, from what we've seen, all the projects seem to be consistent with the spirit of the program. So with that, take any questions you might have.
I was wondering about the, there were some conditions on the Hitchcock Prairie deal. Do you know what's the status of those conditions?
Right. Ted, is that, I'd like to call Ted Hollingsworth up here and give some specifics on that. Ted?
Hi, Chairman, Council members, good morning. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program here at Texas Parks and Wildlife. The conditions that you referenced are the fact that there are matching funds available for that, which are set to expire later this year. So staff is working particularly close with the sponsors of that project. They received the appraisal for the project just in the last couple of weeks. It came back a little bit lower than the landowners had expected, and so the project sponsor is working with the landowners very closely. We are anticipating signatures on contracts here in the next couple of weeks to get that one rolling. We're also, of course, working on this side to have a contract in place between the program and the project sponsor. So we anticipate that one closing late this summer.
Ted, who is the other? Who are the other funder? Is it QIPRA or? At the last meeting, it wasn't clear as to who the other funder is going to be.
Yes, sir. I believe that's a. I went to some trouble to find out what that match is, and at this point, I think it's a CMP grant. And a CMP, and then the bulk of it is a NFWF grant, a National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant, about $3 million out of the Gulf Environmental Benefit Fund. That's the lion's share of that. That one is not scheduled to go away. That one doesn't have a time clock on it. It's the other match, about $1 million, that would go away this year if we don't get that project closed.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
All right, thank you.
Action item number 3, consideration by council of staff recommendations to award grants for conservation easement projects. Mr. Ted Hollingsworth, please make your presentation.
Chairman, council members, good morning. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. In this presentation, we're going to talk about the applications that were reviewed by the project review team in this last cycle. As you know, we had 12 applicants in the first cycle. This council elected to award grants to 5 of those. The other 7 were considered in the second round. Several of those applicants upgraded their applications. And in addition, we had 3 more applications that came in for a total of 10. One of those was subsequently withdrawn. And so the staff ranked 9 projects representing 6 different NGO applicants, projects from 9 different counties. Projects range in size from 211 to 1,738 acres. Property uses range from cattle ranching to rice, wheat, row crop farming, crayfish production, and a couple of those properties are primarily managed for wildlife habitat and recreation. Those range from, the North Central Edwards Plateau all the way down to the coast of Texas. There was a total request for just over $3 million of Texas Farm and Ranch Land Conservation Program funds, representing a total project value of close to $11 million. The applications themselves covered a little over 6,000 acres. For this cycle, the council has available $586,604 that can be awarded for grants. Of that total, $474,000 and some change is in the current fiscal year cycle. As of September 1, another $112,335 becomes available. Staff recommendation is that the council go ahead and, if it so chooses, award all of those funds. The timing will work out well since there's usually, 3 or 4 months of due diligence and other steps that have to be taken before any of these projects would be in a position to actually close. And so awarding those funds now would not cause a delay in those projects. You can see the distribution of the projects to date. All of these stars represent the applications that have come in this year. The yellow stars represent those projects that you awarded funding to in the first cycle. The red stars represent those projects that remain from the first cycle, and the 2 green stars right in the heart of the state represent the 2 new projects that were ranked in this cycle. Just a quick reminder of the selection criteria. They come directly out of statute and are based on the threat of development or conversion to those working lands, the value of those working lands or cost effectiveness, watershed values, fish and wildlife values, the contribution of those projects to a larger landscape initiative, and then the terms of the conservation easement, whether it's perpetual or a term agreement, and just how protective it is. And some of those, of course, vary in their terms. I want to go right into those projects and the order in which they were ranked and in the order in which they scored. The project that scored highest, and you do have in your packet the actual scores associated with each of those projects, so you can see how they compared to one to another. But the project that scored highest was the Dreamcatcher Ranch. You may remember some things about the Dreamcatcher Ranch from our last meeting. It is in Hays County. It's 211 acres. It is under extreme threat for development. It is adjacent to the city limits of San Marcos. $378,089 is requested, representing about 11% of that project value. Well over $3 million, or close to $3 million in match from a variety of other sources for that project. It is working cattle ranch. divided into native pastures, improved pastures, and some areas that had been left more or less in intact oak juniper woodlands. It is right in the heart of the San Marcos Watershed Initiative, about a half a mile from Spring Lake Preserve, and another tract, very close by tract, called the Geiger Tract, that's under conservation easement. The easement itself would prohibit any subdivision and would allow for 1 acre building envelope in addition to the current homestead, which is concentrated in a small building envelope in the center of that tract. Here you can see the Dreamcatcher Ranch in relationship to the city of San Marcos and the Spring Lake itself. I don't have a floodplain map here, but if you could see that, you would realize that this during flood events, the water from the Dreamcatcher Ranch does go into the creek there that you can see and into Spring Lake. In this close-up, you can see where that existing ranch house complex is, and you can see the sort of the balance between improved pastures, native pastures, and then some of those intact forest areas. Here's some ground level pictures that were taken during our site visit. The project that scored second by the ranking team is the Huffson Lakes Ranch project. This is one that you saw in the last meeting. The applicant is the Colorado River Land Trust. It's in Calhoun County with frontage on Matagorda Bay. The total project area is 717 acres, including about 400 acres of a tidal lake, 453,000, almost $444,000 was requested from the program. The project can be scaled depending upon the available funding, and we'll talk about that when we get to the end of the presentation. The Huffson Ranch is a working cattle ranch. The 717 acres for which the conservation easement funding is requested is only about a third of that ranch area. The really salient conservation feature is that tidal lake, again, close to 400 acres, with fringing emergent coastal wetlands, tidal wetlands, and transitional habitats to upland coastal grasslands. Located in the heart of the Matagorda Bay Conservation Focal Area, it's 13 miles from Powderhorn Ranch, Matagorda Island Wildlife Management Area, and the Mad Island Wildlife Management Area. The easement would prohibit any subdivision or any construction within the conservation easement area. This vicinity shows the property on the Matagorda Bay, and a close up where you can see that that lake that would be protected by the establishment of this conservation easement.
That's a quick question, just for information. Is the match where it's indicated starred by NRCS, is that saying that that's 100% of the match is coming from NRCS? On our form where we've got the star indicates NRCS match, indicating the total match is from NRCS for that
project? In the case of this project, yes, sir. I don't believe there are any other match sources.
Any of the projects that are starred by NRCS, is that their total match?
No, sir. In the case of...
Do we have information that shows where the different match is coming from, other than NRCS?
No, I don't have that. In some cases, the applications were not even very clear. They indicated that there was NRCS match. They indicated if there was additional match. In the case of the Dreamcatcher Ranch, for example, there's NRCS match, but there's also additional sources of match funding. Where I have that information, I'll try to provide it.
Thank you.
I would also point out that this ranch is adjacent to Texas Parks and Wildlife Facility, which is the Perry R. Bass Marine Fisheries Research Center. You can see on this map its proximity. Again, some ground level images, high use by wildlife, including the sandhill cranes. The project that was ranked third by the team is the Santa Ana Ranch lower tract, and you'll see in the presentation that the Santa Ana Ranch itself was divided into two separate tracts. The lower tract is adjacent to the Colorado River with about half a mile frontage on the river. The upper tract does not have river frontage. The applicant is the Texas Agricultural Land Trust. The project is in Coleman County. It was those green stars that you saw on the map very near the center of the state. The lower tract is 1,738 acres. $288,258 was requested from the program, which represents about a 26% of the project value. There's an $835,000 match for this one. The team really did like the mix of land uses here. It's an active and well-managed cattle ranch. In addition, there are some significant tracts that are managed for dryland wheat farming. And then there's some areas that are not arable because of the coarse limestone outbreaks, and those limestone breaks do provide habitat for several species of greatest conservation need. The ranch is an area, and the team was interested in this. Is an area where there isn't really not any ranches represented in conservation currently, and we felt this would be a significant start for conservation in that region of the state and for these species that rely on these limestone breaks in particular.
Question, what are some of those species?
Is Meredith with us this morning? We added a member to our team, Meredith Longoria, who is our SGN, our Species of Greatest Conservation Need expert. But I believe, Justin, would you have some knowledge of those species? I believe there's some lizards that rely on those limestone outcroppings, and I wish I was an expert in everything, but I think there's some lizards. The Contra River water snake is actually found in that reach of the Colorado River, and it is a species of particular interest to the agency. There are actually some bats that are on that list that use those crags and those limestone breaks. But when we do this again, I will actually put a list of those species in the presentation.
I guess more importantly, if there was a significant species, say like a sand dune lizard or something like that, you would let us know, right?
If there was a candidate species or a federally listed species, we would point that out. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. We'll sure do that. I might even know if there was a listed species present. Again, here we are on the Colorado River near the center of the state. A little southwest of Brownwood. It is just an outline, but you can tell from the outline those areas that are not cultivated, and you can actually see where the limestone breaks are in this map. You can see the Colorado River running along the south boundary of that, and then you can see these pastures that are rotated between hay production, cattle grazing, and wheat production. This is a close-up of the south end of that site, just so you can see the location of those ranch roads and the ranch headquarter complex. And again, you can see the frontage on the Colorado River. Here are some ground-level photos. It's actually a rather pretty reach of the Colorado River through here. And you can see it is, a well-managed cattle operation. The project that ranked next by the team is the Javelina Ranch, which is down in the Hidalgo County in the lower Rio Grande Valley. The applicant is the Valley Land Fund. The ranch is 280 acres. Approximately 670 acres was requested from the program. Virtually all of the fund needed to make this, to bring this conservation about, were requested from the program. The ranch is not currently used for cattle. It's managed for wildlife. It is dense native South Texas brush, tamalipe, and thorn scrub. And as I'm sure all of you know, there's only a couple percent of that original habitat remains in the lower Rio Grande Valley. It's not adjacent to any conservation units, but it is close to units of the lower Rio Grande Valley National Wildlife Refuge and the Las Palomas Wildlife Management Area. The property is currently subdivided into three tracts totaling 380 acres. The landowner wants to retain one 50-acre building envelope. The landowner has in mind an education center and nature center, and feels like if they realize that, they might need as much as 50 acres to landscape some grounds and put in some demonstration gardens and the associated buildings and parking and so forth. But that 50-acre would come out of the 280-acre total ranch area. You can see where this is located, just west of Edinburgh and Mission, in an area experiencing rapid development, rapid growth. You can see from this close-up photo where the existing building is. The building envelope would include that current building, and you can see immediately south of the property that the sprawling suburbs there are encroaching already on what remains of that brush country. Here's a couple of ground level photos of the Javelina Ranch. The project that ranked next is called Spoonbills Ranch. The applicant is the Texas Rice Industry Coalition for the Environment. The project's located in Matagorda County, is 304 acres. 134,000 acres was requested, which is about 76% of the project value. I'm not sure of the match source, but the applicant did indicate that there is a 67,000-acre match. I believe that's a contribution from the landowner. Organic grains, organic soybean and rice are grown. A small part of the ranch or the farm is used for hay production. Wildlife is emphasized. There is a mosaic of improved pastures, croplands, freshwater wetlands, and live oak forest on the property. The tract is adjacent to Bald Pate Farms, which received an NRCS grant and is under conservation easement currently. The easement would allow no subdivision and one building envelope, the details of which have not been worked out. Here's the location of that ranch in western Matagorda County. And again, you can see from this photo that there's a nice mosaic of native live oak savanna and rice farms, rice fields, rice paddies that have been converted to rotating organic grain growth. And you can see some small fields that are used for hay. And you can see where the building envelope is in that southeast corner of the property. Here's a ground level photo again. When that rice farming area has water in it during the migration of waterfowl and water birds, it's a popular stopover for those species. The next project in the ranking list is the Austin Biofarm. The applicant is the Galveston Bay Foundation. The project's in Brazoria County, 600 acres. It's a 600 acres. I don't believe it includes a tidal lake. I believe this is an accidental cut and paste. But it's a 600-acre ranch. 400 acres is requested from the program. The match for that has not been identified by Galveston Bay Foundation at this time. Most of that property is in rotating rice and hay production. There is some cattle grazing that takes place. It protects a mile of corridor along Austin Bio. Seasonally, it has value for migrating waterfowl, short and wading birds, located about a mile north of the Brazoria National Wildlife Refuge. And it is adjacent to additional tracts that protect additional frontage on Austin Bio Farm. So this project would enhance the value of those other projects for protecting Austin Bio. You can see where it is just north of the Brazoria Wildlife Refuge. And in this picture, you can see, again, there's that long, narrow riparian corridor along Austin Bio, and then the rest of that ranch is in fields that are being rotated for crop production and hay production. Ground-level picture is a very pretty bio in that reach, but you can see it's extensively managed for rice and other grain production, and cattle are rotated on it. The next project is the Oyster Bio project. The applicant, again, is the Galveston Bay Foundation. This one's in Chambers County, 480 acres. Again, I don't believe it includes a tidal lake. I apologize for the oversight. 320,000 acres were requested from the program. Galveston Bay Foundation at this time has not identified the source of the match for that project. Similar to the other project, rotational rice farming, and those rice fields are left fallow or rotated with other crops. There are two tanks on the property with high wildlife value, about a mile of frontage on Oyster Bio. project is not adjacent to any other conservation lands, but right in the heart of the Chenier Plain National Wildlife Refuge Complex authorized boundary. So hopefully as that refuge grows, all of these tracts that are within that boundary will become increasingly part of a conservation landscape. The easement would prohibit subdivision or any construction. Again, here you can see it is just north of the Moody unit of the National Wildlife Refuge. And in this close-up, you can see that aside from that narrow corridor along Oyster Bayou and a tributary to Oyster Bayou, the entire property is in rotation for rice and other production. And this is a ground level photo, again, showing that it's a very flat piece of property, and most of it is divided into paddies for rice production and crop rotation. The next project, as it's scored by the project scoring team, was the Santa Ana Ranch upper tract. This tract is adjacent to and immediately west of the tract that we looked at that was called the lower tract. The applicant is the Texas Agricultural Land Trust, again in Coleman County. This portion of the ranch is 918 acres. It's separated from the other tract by a farm-to-market road, which makes a convenient break in those two properties. $159,000 is requested from the program. This one has an NRCS match. I believe that's I believe that and the landowner contribution are the sole matches for this project at this time. Again, a well-managed cattle ranch and dry farming wheat farm. And again, it has some of those undeveloped limestone breaks on it that are habitat for several species of greatest conservation need. And again, the ranch is in a region that's not currently represented, not well represented by conservation properties. No subdivision would be allowed. One 10-acre building envelope, which would include residential and ranch-related infrastructure. Again, in this photograph, in this aerial image, you can see that there are large pastures that are rotated for wheat and hay production. You can see more of those limestone breaks. And again, the lower reach is immediately to the east of this one, and you can orient yourself by the river in that lower left hand corner of this map. Again, here's some ground level photos showing pasture being prepared for wheat production, showing one of the stock tanks and some of the cattle on the ranch. The next project, as we rank those, is the Blue Wings Farm. The applicant is the Texas Rice Farms Coalition for the Environment. The project is in Brazoria County. It's a 377-acre tract. Again, it does not include a tidal lake. I apologize. $63,000 was requested from the program, there would be a $250,000 match for a total project value of $278,000. This property is currently largely a crayfish farming operation. There are some small tracts that produce grass that are not in crayfish production. The levees have been allowed to cover with brush and small trees, and that actually provides very good habitat for certain shorebirds that use those brush-covered levees for nesting. It is located, again, in the Midcoast Initiative. A number of tracts in that vicinity are under conservation, and primarily, those are rice operations that are now under conservation to preserve those wetland values rather than have those drained and converted to other agricultural purposes. Conservation easements are on those because they've replaced the historic prairie potholes and have become that habitat that's required especially by migratory waterfowl and shorebirds. The easement would prohibit any subdivision and would allow one building envelope. In this aerial image, you can see very clearly that the majority of that land base is in those small paddies that are now managed for crayfish production. You can also see from these photos that during the right time of the year, those water-filled fields are very, very popular for migratory shore and wading birds. Before we get into a discussion of the available funding, did anyone have any specific questions about any of those projects that we covered?
Ted, as a general question, when you refer to the building envelopes on each of these particular tracks, where are we in terms of negotiating what the terms of that building envelope are? I mean, I know you mentioned this 50-acre building envelope on the Javelina track, but on the others, how close are we to actually having a conservation easement which would actually define what the building envelopes are?
It varies quite a bit. I would say that in most cases, the applicants wait until they see if there's funding before they really spend that time and energy negotiating those details with the landowners. In most cases, we simply know that the landowner wants to retain a building envelope or a building envelope of a couple of acres. And of course, the staff, program staff, doesn't do any of that negotiation directly. The project applicant, the NGO that's applied for the funding, is actually that interface with the family. And in some cases, especially where there's an NRCS application or there's an identified match source, those have been identified. They've been located on the ground, and perhaps even the exact dimensions and location have been negotiated. In most cases, they have not been. I guess we operate a little bit on faith that the NGO has the best interest of those conservation and agricultural values in mind. And if we're taking 2 acres out of a 400-acre ranch, it's a very small area, and that the NGO is going to work closely with that landowner to try and locate that in such a way as to minimize those impacts to the values that we're all trying to protect.
Thank you.
So on that particular example, they're talking about a 50-acre building envelope. Is that included as part of the project request? I mean, why include the whole 50-acre tract?
And that's an excellent question, and the staff is constrained to present these projects the way they're scoped in the applications. I just candidly, the team would much have preferred that we had received an application for a conservation easement on 230 acres with no building envelope, rather than be requested to fund a conservation easement on 280 acres with a 50-acre building envelope. In this case, we're simply bringing to the council what was presented to us in the application. And in the scoring process, it probably hurt that application just a little bit, the fact that building location, that building envelope location was not identified, and that the request was that be taken out of the 280-acre project area.
Ted, back to my concern about the match.
Yes, sir.
Or at least for information reasons. When y'all recommend or you rank and you indicate there is match available, one, is it all cash match? Or is it in-kind match? What serves as match?
And that's an excellent question. It varies quite a bit. In the case of an NRCS match, there's a required landowner contribution as well. On one of these projects, as Justin mentioned, the conservation easement was donated outright, and the council was only asked to cover ancillary due diligence and project closing costs. What I will do in future cycles is I will include in the presentation each of those sources and the amount of that match. And one of the things we've already determined that we need to do is in that application form. In fact, we've already changed the application form so that all future applications, those sources will be listed and itemized and the value itemized, and it will be indicated whether or not those are in hand or not.
Follow-up question then.
Yes, sir.
When we're considering what you recommend or the staff recommends, and it indicates match.
Yes, sir.
Then do we take at face value that match, you've researched that, and you know the match is going to be like it states with the numbers. So if the board's making a decision on a project, and that match is indicated, we should be confident that match will be there, as indicated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And in some cases, just to go back to an example, Oyster Bio, for example, Galveston Bay Foundation, as I indicated to you, that $320,000 match, the Galveston Bay Foundation hasn't begun seeking that match. That match does not exist. And that affected the scoring of the project because that match doesn't exist. They're asking for $320,000 from the program. If they get funded, then they're going to start looking for a match. All of the projects that we've recommended, those indicated matches, those projects that ranked highest, those indicated matches, according to the application, have already been secured.
Okay. Thank you.
I can elaborate just a little bit further, and that is that I believe on the Santa Ana Ranch, that is a 2016 NRCS application. I don't speak for the NRCS, but the NRCS staff has worked closely with us and has indicated to us any of these projects that we might bring forward for which they don't expect to. I mean, they can't tell me it's a done deal, this one's funded, but they've been good to tell me if I should take one forward and if it's not likely to receive that NRCS fund. Selene, is that a fair representation?
So in that example, just to clarify for me, sorry, is the $448,000 match, is that all NRCS on this particular project, or we may not know that?
We may not meet. That may also include the landowner contribution.
Okay.
And like I say, I think we've all discussed this. In future cycles, we hope to have a little more time between when the applications come in and when the council meets, so that we can ferret that kind of information out. And where it hasn't been provided, we can go back to the applicant and ask for it, so that we can make sure that you have a complete 100% picture of that project.
And I think that's important because when we looking at this at face value, we would assume, or I would assume, that NRCS is good for the $448,000 match on this project, 100%.
Yes, sir. I understand that. And as we knew going into the very first meeting, this has been an awkward cycle because of the timing.
Sure.
Councilman Salinas' staff has been very good to work very closely with us and to share as much information as they legitimately could share to make sure we don't bring you a project that isn't very likely to be funded.
Ted, one other comment on building envelopes, which is one of my favorite subjects. I would suggest that on the application that we request more detail on what can be, how the building envelope can be used. Like on this 50-acre building envelope, it seems to me okay, you can have your envelope, but what are the permitted uses within the envelope? We don't want to have a Walmart on the 50 acres. So if you just put some parameters in the application or find out what the building envelope's going to be used for, whether it's residential or a school or whatever, just so we would know.
Yes, sir. And we asked for that information in the application, and where that information is not provided, we assume that that building envelope will have absolutely no conservation value. We assume it could have a wind turbine on it. And we assume the worst, unless the applicant has indicated that they've already negotiated what can go in that building envelope with the landowner. In some cases, they simply haven't. But if they haven't, we assume the worst. Because you're right, a four-acre footprint in the middle of a 1,000-acre ranch could still be a hideous impact to that operation and to those conservation values. And what we can certainly do in future cycles is indicate in that application form that a failure to provide that information will hurt the scoring of the project.
Any other questions? I just have, you might just give me a little idea. The scores are low compared to the first round. Is that indicative of a lack of conservation, or is it just tough scoring?
I think there's two things. I think the first thing is, and all these are good projects. All of these are worthwhile projects. We had some projects in that first round that were just truly standout projects. I think it's part of it. I also think we added a member, and I think that as we got on the ground and looked at projects and became more and more familiar with what we felt like the council wanted to see in these projects, I think probably we came became a little more conservative in our scoring. I'm happy to report that the team was extremely consistent. We had six people scoring projects, and the ranking of those projects, which project ranked highest or next highest, and was very, very consistent across all six members of the team. So I feel like the scoring is good. I feel like the ranking is good, and I just feel like we have very conservative team members that don't score, 100% of the available points unless a project just is truly, truly unique in that particular respect.
Okay, thank you.
You ready to talk about
Houston? Yeah, if there are no other questions about specific projects, what I'd like to do is talk about the available funding. And I'm gonna apologize again. Somehow the PowerPoint presentation that has been brought up this morning is not the latest version of the PowerPoint that we prepared for the council. I'll take full responsibility for that, but somehow the folks that loaded the project down here didn't pull the correct version of the PowerPoint presentation. But the bottom line is that there's $378,000 has been requested by the Dreamcatcher Ranch, which was the project that ranked highest, that scored highest. If the council chooses to award that $378,000 to the Dreamcatcher Ranch project, there will be roughly $208,000 remaining. Knowing that was not going to be enough to fund the Huffson Ranch project, which was the second scoring project, and bear with me while I scroll back to that project, staff did go back to the applicant, in this case the Colorado River Land Trust, and we asked them if they would be able to close this project if they were awarded roughly half their request. So they circled back around with the landowner, and the landowner agreed that they would enter into a conservation easement for less than the amount requested. However, they would only enter into a conservation easement for an area to be conserved commensurate with the amount of money available, which essentially meant, looking at this map of Huffson Lakes, we could have protected the west shoreline of the lake, or we could have protected the east shoreline of the lake. And knowing that, we met with Ross, and Ross asked the team to anticipate the council's question as to whether this would affect the scoring of the project. And we rescored the Huffson Ranch project predicated on the basis that we would only be protecting half of that shoreline. It turns out that the ability to protect that entire lake from impacts was a significant part of what made this project of value in the eyes of the selection team and in accordance with the scoring criteria. With the conservation easement you see here, you couldn't bulkhead the lake anywhere. You couldn't put a boat ramp in. All of those seagrasses, all those emergent marshes, all those nursery beds for shrimp and flounder and other fish in that lake would be protected. If you leave any of that shoreline unprotected, you could have a boat ramp, you could have bulkheads, you could have piers, you could have docks, you could have all sorts of disturbances that would compromise that value. You have in your packet the results of rescoring that project. If the full award is not made available for the Hufson Ranch project, it falls significantly in ranking, and the project that then ranks the next highest, the second highest, is the Santa Ana Ranch. They've requested $288,000. If you fund the Dreamcatcher Ranch project in full, there's $208,000 available. So, again, in anticipation of questions from the council, we went back to Texas Agricultural Land Trust. They went back to the landowner, and they came back to us and indicated that the landowner was still willing and would simply remove acreage from the north end of that ranch project. So what you would lose is some of those limestone breaks and one of those pastures. You would also lose the area that the family had targeted for a building envelope. So you would as you can see from this picture, you would continue to have wheat operations, you would continue to have grazing and cattle operations, you would continue to have limestone breaks, you would continue to have a half a mile of frontage on the river. In polling the team did not feel that this compromise would change the scoring or the ranking of this particular project, because we've lost none of those primary conservation or production values for this ranch. As a result, if the council decides to grant that $208,000 to the next project, the next highest ranking project that could take those funds and close a project, the staff would suggest the Santa Ana Ranch lower tract project.
Ed, do you know what the ranking? Where the ranking went with the Hufson?
Yes, sir. It became project number 8. I believe you have it in your score sheet.
Okay, I'm with you.
And again, we made a concerted effort to score those blind. In other words, just to start over again and make no assumptions about the project and to just see how it would rank. If it were a request to fund a conservation easement on one shoreline or the other of that tidal lake. And again, this, we had changed the motion and had left a blank in the motion so that the chairman could move that $378,000 in Texas Farm and Ranchland Conservation Program funds go to the Dreamcatcher Ranch, and that the remaining balance go to the next ranch project. And
so why would you have just the Spoonbill Ranch?
I'm sorry?
Why was the Spoonbill, because that's similarly requested amount from the Santa Ana?
Well, the Santa Ana was the next highest ranking project.
I thought you were talking about the Santa Ana Upper.
The Santa Ana Upper was originally ranked number 3, and in the lack of funding to fully fund the Hufson Ranch project, it fell to number 8, and the Santa Ana Lower became number 2.
Is there still a building envelope on the Santa Ana Lower around the ranch headquarters?
This is all, taking place over the period of this last week, but I'm told there is not. Blair Fitzsimmons, I've been working directly with her, and she's been working with the landowner, and the family had already identified where they wanted that building envelope, and it is in one of those pastures that would come out. And so, as we understand it, there would be no building envelope in addition to the existing ranch headquarters.
Well, that's all the questions.
Any other questions? Then I think what's like a motion to approve this recommendation.
So moved.
Dyson?
Second.
Second. Kinsel? Thank you very much. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Action item number four, consideration by council of staff recommendations regarding any unspent balance in the Texas Farm and Ranch Land Conservation Funds. Mr. Hollingsworth.
Chairman, members of the council, my name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program here at Texas Parks and Wildlife. The staff involved in this program have been doing this collectively for many decades, and we know there's always the possibility that a project will not close. A variety of things can occur during the course of trying to close a project. Due diligence can turn up something that was unexpected. There can be changes in the family. I mean, somebody can die, or just any number of things can occur in those family dynamics. Sometimes the NGO and the family went into this process in good faith and simply failed to come to terms in that conservation easement. Somebody in the family will decide that they just really don't want the restrictions on the ranch, and things change. And in one case that we discussed earlier, it's possible that another funding source can expire. And again, things can happen, and sometimes projects don't close. In the event we have a project that you have agreed to fund fail to close, if the application is withdrawn or staff is able to determine that the project can't close within the time frame, and that means that it has to be under contract and approaching closing by August 31st of 2017 and would have to close within a couple months thereafter, so that those funds don't go back to the state's general revenue. If staff becomes aware that a project is going to fail, let me change. If a project is not going to close within the time frame that's allotted, what staff would do is advise the council via email of that. What we would propose to do is email the council, explain the reasons that staff has concluded the project. It's either been withdrawn by the applicant or that staff has concluded that it can't close or is very unlikely to close within the time period available. We would go back to the ranking applications. We would work with the applicants of those. We would figure out what the next highest ranking project is that we believe could close within that time frame with the available funds. And then we would advise the council of that project or projects and our proposal to proceed with reallocating those funds to the next highest ranking project. And then upon notification from the chairman that we could proceed, we would negotiate a contract with the applicant for that next highest ranking project and try to get it closed in time. The reasons for doing it this way are that we assume that time is going to be getting tight, and this saves having to reconvene the council and go through that delay and quite frankly look at the projects you've already looked at and look at the rankings you've already looked at. It just saves some steps in us being able to hopefully use those funds advantageously before the window closes. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? This looks like the only really feasible way to proceed, because I'll be surprised. I hope if something doesn't pop up or somebody changes their mind about something on these projects, but I hope I'm wrong. But usually, when they get the final numbers, it can change people's opinions. So this looks like a good way to proceed if everybody's in agreement. I need a motion.
I'll move.
Mr. Kelsey, second.
Second.
Awesome. Thank you very much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And we have no one signed up for public comments, which anybody have any other comments, any suggestions, anything you'd like to see differently? Hopefully we'll be doing this again with more money. Ted?
I would like to say that the staff that has worked on these projects is just really, really delighted at the response from the council, the enthusiasm that this council has shown. We've gotten phone calls, we've gotten comments back, we've gotten feedback. The chairman has provided some very excellent comments. Hopefully the presentations are getting better and will continue to get better, but we really do appreciate your support. And and I've talked to other people in the conservation community. I talk to people in the conservation community all the time, of course, and folks around Texas are just amazed at what the program has accomplished with a little less than $2 million. And we're extremely, we're looking forward to the prospect of funding in future cycles. And this is just a terrific, terrific tool. And it's reaching ranches and properties that don't fall under other sources of conservation funding. And we're just really excited. And again, really, really appreciate the very positive feedback that we've gotten from every member of this council. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank the staff. I think this is a great program, and it ought to have everybody excited. Hopefully, we'll see it grow. And I believe that concludes our business.
Thank you.
You want to add any?
I guess the biggest disappointment is we don't have more money.
Yeah.
That's great projects. Thank you all for your time and input. I want to reiterate what Ted said in terms of input from the council and coming to this meeting. Hopefully you have the information you need. We'll continue to supplement that based on feedback we've gotten today and last meeting. We're in good shape. Moving forward, we'll keep you posted on any projects that happen to fall out along the way. And then we'll take appropriate action in accordance with the last motion just passed. So with that.
All right. Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you.